Welcome to the Calvary St. George's Sermon Podcast, proclaiming the historic faith of Christ and Him crucified. These podcasts are recorded and produced by the parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. For more information about our ministries, head to calvarystgeorges.org.
Palm Sunday is about king-making. We begin our liturgy by reading the gospel of Jesus' triumphal entry, where his disciples and followers gather for him a colt that has never been ridden and march him into Jerusalem, waving leafy branches and shouting about the coming of the kingdom of David. We march around the block ourselves, waving our palms and singing, "All glory, laud, and honor to Jesus," naming him as David's royal son, the king and blessed one. We are proclaiming to the world that we belong to someone and something else, that this world and its politics and its social structures are not what define us, but that we are citizens of another kingdom, and our allegiance is to Jesus Christ, the king of that kingdom. Now, it's New York City, and New Yorkers are accustomed to weird things happening on their streets. And so we probably didn't get too many second glances. But nonetheless, today is an important public witness to an intangible reality which we believe in and live out and hope for in our Christian faith. But then everything changes when we come back inside and listen to the reading of the Passion narrative. This hoped-for kingship seems to crumble into nothing as Jesus is placed on trial by the religious establishment for claiming to be God's son and by the political establishment for threatening Rome's rule. Hope ebbs away with his crucifixion and death. So what gives? Why don't we just stop with the triumphal entry? Why kill the mood with the crucifixion? I mean, can't we wait for Good Friday? Isn't the declaration of Jesus' kingship important enough to have its own day, both liturgically and theologically? There's a historical reason for this. Until a few decades ago, there was much less emphasis on the services during Holy Week itself, and most people simply came to church on Palm Sunday and Easter. The thought was that everyone needed to hear the story of the crucifixion at some point, and by Easter, everyone wanted to focus on the resurrection, so it got added into Palm Sunday service. But that day is long past. Most of you will come to at least one of the services this week where we focused more closely on Jesus' passion and death. Especially here at Calvary St. George's, we're not riding the glory train from Palm Sunday to Easter and skipping over the messy, hard parts. But that doesn't mean that we can just eliminate the extra long gospel reading. No, the Passion reading on Palm Sunday is far more than just a liturgical relic of a bygone era. It is theologically integral to everything that we do this week. We actually cannot interpret the meaning of the triumphal entry without looking at the crucifixion. And this is true of the rest of our worship services as well. We are not onlookers at a play in multiple parts, acted out over the entirety of Holy Week, eagerly awaiting the end of the action where we get to celebrate the resurrection. No, we are worshipers, entering the sanctuary of our God on each day, hearing the story of our salvation retold to us again, knowing intimately each part already. And because we know each part intimately, we know that theologically all the parts are related. We can't understand Jesus' command on Maundy Thursday to wash each other's feet unless we also remember his sacrifice of love poured out to us on the cross. Our worship on Good Friday would be devastatingly painful if we didn't know that Easter was coming. This is the beauty of this week, the layering of the events and the interconnectedness of the theology brings each one of us into a deeper understanding of and a more faithful worship for what Jesus accomplished for us 2,000 years ago on the cross. And this is nowhere more obvious than in the liturgy for Palm Sunday. Because as soon as we finish lauding Jesus as King, as soon as we get back from our procession around the block and take our seats in the pews, we hear this claim doubted, denied, and mocked in the Passion reading. We are faced with our own incapacity as human beings to make Jesus a king. First, we have Herod standing as judge in a political trial. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asks. This matters because if Jesus is a king, then he is a threat to Rome. He must be eliminated. Jesus' response is circumspect, neither denying nor confirming the claim. "You say so." Herod isn't convinced that Jesus really is a king. He sees the jealousy of the religious establishment. He believes that this is a trumped-up charge for the purpose of removing someone who challenges the chief priest's power. Next, we have the crowd. The very ones who welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem 5 days earlier are now given a choice by Herod. "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" They, that is we, cry, "Crucify him." It's a complete 180. The voices that praised him now deny and condemn him. And we must see ourselves as complicit here. It is our sin that leads to Jesus' crucifixion and not his coronation. And finally, once Jesus is on the cross, the chief priests join in, mocking Jesus and claiming that he ought to come down from the cross to prove that he is the King of Israel, and only then would they believe in him. Doubt, denial, and mockery. This is what happens when humans think they can make Jesus a king. Our good intentions turn more than sour. The end result is his crucifixion. But I started off this sermon by saying that Palm Sunday is about kingmaking, and I meant it, because Jesus Christ is our king. It just doesn't happen the way that we would have it. Riding into Jerusalem doesn't make him a king. Defending himself to Pilate doesn't make him a king. Coming down from the cross to save himself doesn't make him a king. No, his submission to the will of his Father in the garden and his sacrifice of himself on the cross, seeing that through to the end and breathing his last in the midst of all the betrayal, the desertion, the mocking, the public humiliation, this makes him our king. It doesn't make sense in our world, in our politics, in our social structures. But in the kingdom of heaven, the ultimate act of glory and power is seen in Jesus' self-emptying on the cross. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. He gave up his life so that we might have forgiveness, grace, and life eternal. He came not for himself, but for us. And in this, as theologian Charles Bobertz explains, It is the death of Christ which brings about his royal authority. The cross makes Christ king. Jesus went to the cross for us. His whole life on earth led him to this purpose, and that journey was heightened the moment he climbed on that colt in Bethpage for the short ride to Jerusalem. His death is our deliverance. His power is our pardon, and his rule is our redemption. For this, we worship him today and each day of this holy week. And we sing, ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. Bow your meek head to mortal pain, and then take, O Christ, your power and reign. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast, produced and recorded at the Parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. If you feel led to support the continuing ministry of our parish, we would really appreciate it. You can make a one-time or recurring gift by going to calvarystgeorges.org/give. Thank you for your support.